The Football Sack.
Hello and welcome to The Football Sack, the Sack on Sunday podcast. It's not beyond the 90. I absolutely shanked the intro to our radio program before this, much to the amusement of my co-hosts who are sitting to my left and in front of me. Pete Nowakowski is in front of me. How you doing, Pete?
Very, very well, thank you. And it was fairly comical, so thank you for that.
No, I do deserve everything that I got. It was a poor performance. It was in the Djurakovic mould. And Anno Dong on my left, how are you doing?
It was quite hilarious. And also, considering that it was the very first time that we let you do the intro, how serious you were when you were stuffing it up.
I know, I didn't even realise until we'd kind of had, you know, I'd kind of gone, huh? And I'd seen you guys' faces and just gone, why are they looking like that? Oh, yes, it is really early and I've screwed that up completely. So thank you for setting me on the straight, narrow path, because I would not have picked that up. And we would have got on with the show and I would have just listened to it and gone, oh God.
That's all right. Well, look, another thing which I want to point out is, of course, there is another chair in the room. It is gathering dust and cobwebs at the moment. And, we even have, our own friend, little crow, I believe it is. It's like, he's there.
Yeah. There he is. Yeah, there he is. And that's crow speak. That's asking for Matt Greenlaw.
Yeah. Where is he? Where is Matt G?
He's down in the Gong. He's performing in amateur theater and, we should definitely go down and see him, you know, see him in a play. And, but in the meantime, we sort of observe some mourning and, you know, in the traditional way, we pay our respects to Matt Greenlaw, one of the founding members of the podcast. And, we're going to get straight into, we are going to salute you. We might have a minute's silence.
That was the second silence.
But, look, let's get straight into the show. We've had some big results, already this weekend in the A-League, and none bigger than Brisbane Roar, who have gone and beaten the record for Australia's most successful side, 35 games unbeaten. What a performance. I mean, it's just been incredible. It's been an absolute pleasure to watch. And who knows? Will it go to 36? Will it go to 40? May it go to 50? We've had some tweets from some people who know what it's like to go through a whole season undefeated, haven't we, Pete?
Well, yes, they have. They've received a tweet from Robin Van Persie during the week, congratulating them on their current form and celebrating how well that they're performing. They even had a pre-game message from Arsenal legend
Robert Pires,
congratulating them on their current form as well. So it's good to see some Arsenal legends getting behind the A-League.
That tweet by Robin Van Persie is something I love about football. It is such a world game. It's such a community spirit. And for somebody who is at the pinnacle of world football, who himself is in fantastic form at the moment.
38 in 41.
38 in 41.
Amazing.
For him to be able to take the time out and congratulate Brisbane Roar is sensational.
It is. And it really shows that the world of football is listening. FIFA tweeted, overnight that, congratulations to Brisbane Roar. It's not going unnoticed and it really is an interconnected world of football. And, we need to celebrate this team. It's just been amazing. And do you think we can go to, you know, unbeaten the whole time? Well, actually,
I think calling the game. Ooh. They're definitely celebrating.
Cool and Gang think that they can go unbeaten. They can be invincible. So did Robert Pires. He knows what it takes and, you know, he's tipping them. So what do you think, Pete? Do you think we're going to get to 30 games in an A-League season unbeaten?
Yes, I do. I honestly think that it's the whole mentality. I was talking about this to a lot of people just the other day. It's the whole psychology behind their sport. They know that they will win games and therefore they will continue to win games. The moment that they switch off ever so slightly, that will be when problems start to arise. But the thing is, it won't happen.
Yeah.
Ange has that squad so well organized that there is no hope that anything could go wrong. And you could see the moment anyone starts to slip, Ange gets on their back straight away and says, pick up your game, or that's it.
Well, a big thing that happened this week was Ivan Franjic and Michael Theoklotos nearly coming to blows at training. And that could be something, maybe somehow human nature will create something that has a negative effect or a calming effect on this ridiculous streak.
I think one of the things that Ange has said is, you know, they have to protect this. This is something, it was a 74-year-old record. This is something that might take another 74 years to break. So they really need to protect this and keep going. The next one that they're after, I believe, is 38 games in a row, which was done by Real Sociedad back back in the 70s, mm. and that's the La Liga one. Mm. And then there are a couple more records on that path. So I don't see them. Just the way they played against Perth Glory yesterday, they're just a class above. And mm. I really, it's going to take something unbelievable to be able to down them.
Yeah, but that clash at training, I mean, that's a senior defender and the number one goalkeeper nearly coming to blows. What's the story?
I mean, it shows the pressure that all the players are under to perform mm. non-stop, and the fact that these guys are fighting so hard to maintain that style of football is fantastic. We saw the exact, I saw the exact same thing when I've made the trip up to Sydney FC's training. You have Carol Kissel, who's telling off Terry Antonis to say, this is what you have to do.
Mm.
Stop mucking it up.
Yeah.
If you want to be a top player, mm. listen to me and take my advice.
But that's what I'm taking from that, Pete, is that you believe that Franjic and Theoklotos it's their will to win that is making them clash.
Yes. Yes, definitely, without a doubt.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's interesting. Players having clashes at training, you generally see a clash where there's a personality difference or an issue that's arisen. In this case, I'm inclined to agree with you, Pete, that, you know, you've got two players who are absolute professionals, want to get back into Socceroos contention. And I'm inclined to believe, to agree with you. I think that Terry Antonis and Carol Kissel, slightly different dynamic there. And we'll get on to Sydney FC in a moment when we talk about Wellington Phoenix. But I think you saw in that moment in the game last week when Carol Kissel kind of lost it with Terry Antonis for not passing in the ball. I think it's more like, you know, master and apprentice thing happening there. You know, Carol Kissel was trying to teach him some lessons that he's learned throughout his long career in many countries. And, but with Franjic and Theoklotos, you've got two guys who are about the same age with similar experiences. Theoklotos had 1 year abroad, but you know, I could not believe that they nearly came to blows. That's a story. And look, I think the fact that they beat the record, they probably had a beer after the game or several and talked about it. But interesting, very interesting. And you wonder whether that might go on a little bit further. It probably is the will to win, but it may be a personality clash as well.
Quite possibly. Hopefully it isn't though, because Brisbane Roar, they are the top team. They're absolutely dominating everything. They have the best coach in the league.
Yep.
Everything seems to be going right for Brisbane Roar, and
4-0.
Nothing seems to be going right for Perth Glory at the current moment, because they lost 4-0, Berisha getting a double and Issa getting a double. That game played on Saturday night. And since you are a Perth Glory fan, what would you like to see fixed?
Did Perth Glory roll over, or was Brisbane Roar just amazing?
How long is this podcast, guys?
it's a 2-hour show.
Can we drop a rant? Is there a rant coming?
No, there's no rant, because I'm just so despondent. There's not even the anger to be able to muster up a rant, to tell you the truth. I will say one thing is, I'm not too sure in the second half if Brisbane took their foot off the pedal or if Perth was better organised. But I will say, Andrezinho, the fact that he is not starting is just an indictment on Fergie's coaching.
Yeah, what the hell's up with that?
It's unbelievable. Yeah. It's funny because Mike Cockerell yesterday said he was a bit of a homie, as in he's one of those players that Fergie's starting at home but not away. Look, I don't understand why you don't have a best 11 and you play that best 11 home or away.
Exactly.
I'm sorry. That's just, it's just simple logic.
Beggar's belief.
In relation to Brisbane Roar, everybody knows you cannot sit back and allow the Brisbane Roar to come at you. The fact that we were so incompetent and inept to allow the Brisbane Roar space and time and to pull us apart.
Mm.
He should have been watching what Melbourne Victory did with 9 men.
Yep.
They set up and they never lost formation in that match. Mm. I can understand that you've got to be able to attack. That's fair enough. But look what Ange did, and even at a higher level, Manchester City did last year. They got their defence right first, and then they worried about the attack. So, same with Graham Arnold with Central Coast Mariners. Attack will come, but if you can't even defend, like, we just, who was it saying? Like drunken sailors on a ship.
Yeah.
That's what we looked like at times.
It
was devastating.
Looking at the first goal, it was a ball from Broish that was just spectacular. It was from another league. The pass really dissected everybody. It went past four defenders to Berisha at the back post, Pete.
Yeah, also that back pass, the little cheeky flick by Henrique. He has been in fine form.
That was for the second goal.
For everything. And Raquel was in form for everything, really.
But the chip that
Thomas Broich provided for Issy.
That one was
awesome. Look, all four goals.
Yeah.
They were just fantastic.
But can I say, like, one of the things that you notice about the Brisbane Roar is, one, a lot of those players, as a unit, like, okay, Broich gets a lot of the accolades, as does Mitch Nichols, and at the moment, Broich, because, he's
putting
them away.
9 goals in 8 games.
9 in 8, yeah.
But I think when you look at it, the sum of the parts is greater than the parts themselves in that team. And that is the key thing. At the moment with Perth Glory, even at the beginning of the season where we were winning, I had my doubts about it. And I wasn't one of those people jumping up and down because they were definitely all about the parts. It was get it to Shane Smeltz or get it to Billy Mehmet or, you know, that was the mantra that was coming out of the team. It didn't look like there was a cohesive, ideal as to what you wanted that side to do. I think one of the key things that needs to happen in football, and this is not just for Perth Glory, this is for a couple of teams. We've got to stop idolizing, foreign players with big names and coming across on big salaries. That's just got to stop. Brisbane Roar has shown us that it doesn't need to happen. They have 35% less in their salary cap than Perth Glory. That is staggering. And one of the key things is, boards need to give coaches time to build a team. Ange was backed when he was getting rid of the older players and the players on bigger money, by the way. He was sacked during that point. We have to have, adventure. We have to have, confidence in our coaches, to be able to implement plans. And first of all, I think coaches need to get the education. A B license and coaching an A-League club is just not good enough.
No. And look, we've really seen in the last few weeks that there's been three clubs that have emerged and perhaps have broken away a little bit, despite the fact that the points don't show that on the table just yet. I think we've got Brisbane Roar obviously out in front. No one is going to catch them in the race for the title. I think we can shut that gate. But then I think in the last few weeks, Central Coast has come of age. They've shown what we thought was going to come in the preseason. And perhaps Sydney, if they can go ahead in games, will do that too. But I really think you've seen the emergence of three clubs that are playing strong football. And unfortunately, we thought Perth were going to be there and we thought they were going to do that. But I think that again, it's an Ian Ferguson thing. I strongly believe in that.
Yeah. And keeping with Perth Glory for a moment, might I just say, Jacob Burns finally got himself a yellow card.
He's got many, many, many. I don't know if there are enough.
No, but it was his first yellow card of the season.
Really?
It was his first yellow card of the season. Congrats!
That is a stat. That is a stat. Had Chris Beath been a referee for him yet? Because that probably had not a little bit, you know, to do with it. Chris Beath likes to brandish a card. So did Jared Gillette, didn't he? Central Coast. He pulled three and right at the death, didn't he, Pete?
Yeah, well,
although
three
I've got
yellows,
to say,
I don't know, maybe not warranted.
No, I think they were warranted. During that period, he'd actually been really good with man management.
He's five games in, isn't he, into his A-League refereeing career. He's a good young ref.
He is a good young ref. And one of the things I saw with him yesterday, you know, he took a while to pull out those cards. And I think it was right because they were starting to get some aggro between Jacob Burns and a couple of the other players. And also, he was also right to give one to Matt Smith for going off at Andrezinho.
Oh, come on. Andrezinho dived. It was an obvious dive. Okay, Matt Smith had every single right to yell at him for that.
He had no right to yell at him for that. That was not a dive, and he was not even asking for a penalty or a free kick in any chance. He fell over. He didn't ask for anything, and for Smith to go off at him in that, come on, Smith, turn around and have a look at Henrique in the first minutes of the game if you're going to go that way.
Yeah, of course. Henrique is always going to dive.
But he didn't ask for anything.
We haven't played the rant sound yet. You guys are ranting.
Andrezinho, the moment that he fell over, he looks at the referee and claims he was pushed.
No, he did.
He did. Watch the footage.
I will watch the footage, and that so did not happen. And Matt Smith, to get on his freaking high horse for that, was unbelievable.
Andrezinho, he does like to ask the referee to brandish a card. I have noticed that he will go down.
The referee
did give
him one.
Yeah, well, I think that perhaps some of these players like Makon at Melbourne Heart, the new Brazilians to the A-League kind of need to realise that we give short shrift to any sort of play acting. And I think that is no greater embodied than in that moment. Whether he was play acting, whether he wasn't play acting, Matt Smith is a captain of a club in the A-League, a few seasons in now, was like, no, I'm not going to even have the slightest whiff of the scent of any sort of play acting. And I think that's great for the A-League.
Okay. Can we go back? Because Brisbane Roar, like, I'm just about to get everybody offside, but I do not care. You can't tell me Brisbane Roar does not milk every single foul that they get.
Of course they do.
So how is that any different to play acting?
But, okay,
Brisbane Roar. Yeah, I heard that silence.
Where are the crickets?
I heard that silence.
I'm not even going to...
Yeah.
All right. Well,
but one thing I will bring up is, of course, the A-League website. Okay, because on the A-League website, we get all these updates from what's happening in all the games and the stats and all this kind of stuff. Now, we are how many weeks into the A-League now? Eight? This is what, round seven or?
Eight, I think.
Round eight, yeah. Well, why is it that the A-League website still says TC and RC for yellow cards and red cards? Now, I'm just putting it out there. If there is a spelling mistake on the A-League website.
Total cards, red cards.
Would it say total cards? Why wouldn't it say yellow cards?
I don't know.
But that's okay. We'll just drop it and leave that alone.
We are tackling the big issues.
Let's move on to Central Coast. I thought it was beyond the 90, but that was me. Central Coast, 3-1 over Melbourne Heart. And a game not without controversy. And I've totally brushed over Adelaide United and Newcastle 0-0 on Friday night.
Well, there's
a
reason for that.
Yeah.
Look, I do actually have, highlights of that game between Adelaide and Newcastle Jets.
Let's just listen in.
Listen in.
Yep. That was a shot on goal. That was a good save.
One more.
That was full time.
That was full time.
That was it. Adelaide United.
That was the entire game.
Newcastle. That was it. 0-0. Now Central Coast 3-1 over Melbourne Heart. By contrast, a very, very exciting game. And a big call by the referee in that one.
Yeah, 45 minutes in, just before the whistle. Matt Simon getting in the right spot, turning the ball and putting it in the back of the net. There's nothing that Clint Bolton could have done to have stopped that one. But look, the first half, I think that council workers would have done more work than Justin Pashford and Clint Bolton. They did absolutely nothing. I don't think they even touched the ball.
I don't think there was even a shot on goal, to tell you the truth.
No, there wasn't. And, well, I'm just putting it out there. The statistic says that Perth Glory didn't have any shots on goal either. But that's okay. We're going to move on.
We have moved on.
But we got to get back to this. Between Melbourne Heart and
Central Coast. You are asking for some serious time.
There is a table between you two. We need a referee. We need a referee.
You just need to remember you support Sydney FC.
Now you've picked a fight. Now you've picked a fight. There's two against one here. But look, let's focus on Central Coast. Central Coast starting to really play some amazing football. Matt Simon.
Yeah.
I don't like celebrating Matt Simon because I don't think much of him as a player or as a human being, but he's putting some performances together.
He really is. And he's proving to be a really, really good striker at the moment.
In
previous seasons, we've seen him do average or he's done okay.
Yep.
Now he's doing well.
Someone that I'd like to celebrate is Eli Babal. She's got the second goal. The second goal in the match. It was an equaliser, for Melbourne Heart from the head. I think he's a guy to watch, and I was saying it a couple of years ago. He's got some silky, silky smooth skills.
Ooh,
great.
Silky.
Yeah. I've known Eli since he was about 11 years of age. Another one that slipped through the Perth system.
Yeah.
We could have a full show on that.
Sydney as well.
Let me tell you about that. No, he's a very good player, and he's taken his time to mature. He's always had the skills.
Yep.
But I think he's also learning the professionalism, the intensity, the hardness that needs to go with the game. And I'm really happy for him to see him get. I think this is his second goal this season, and I think in the next couple of years he could be a potential match winner.
Yeah, for sure. And Melbourne Heart needs some match winners at present, but Central Coast really took the game away from them in the second half.
Yeah, they had. They did. but goals from Danny McBreen in the 70th minute, as well as one for Patrick Svinsvijk to really seal that deal. And that was 3-1 win there.
And after that goal against Sydney last week, he's got a taste for goals. He's an excellent defender and a great signing by Graham Arnold. We have to say that. We've talked a lot about Brisbane Roar already. 4-0, tremendous performance there. And after this, we're going to talk a little bit about the AFC Awards before we get into today's matches, that is the sack on Sunday, recorded on Sunday. It may be Wednesday. We're going to talk about Wellington and Sydney and Victory and the Gold Coast directly after this.
For the latest news, opinion, match reports and for more on the A-League, head to our website at thefootballsack.com.
Okay, we're going to talk a bit about the AFC Awards that have been held or awarded this week. It's traditionally an awards night that doesn't feature a lot of Australians. And
this year was really no different.
Yeah, I mean, in the women's side of things, we had Caitlin Ford, who is the clear and exceptional, person who you couldn't overlook. I mean, she's had a tremendous, tremendous bursting onto the scene year, and she should be celebrated.
Yeah, absolutely. And Caitlin Ford, it's amazing that you think this time last year, she wasn't even in the Sydney FC starting lineup.
She was in nappies. She's such a young girl.
She was a talent that was actually on Sydney FC's book the season before, but because she was 15 at that age, and I say that again, 15, she couldn't play in the WLX, so she was just a train-on squad member. Last season, she was on the bench. She was a striker at representative level, but they converted her into a right winger and then finally a right full back, and
she's
you can
been
see
to
what
a World Cup and she's had a great year.
I like how Caitlin's career is moving forwards by her moving backwards on the field. Next year, I think she'll be in goals.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. But look, one of the things I don't think people understand just how big this is, having Caitlin Ford in this country. She is the best young player in the world.
Yeah.
That's in the world. Yeah. And, it's the equivalent of having, you know, a Messi at that age. She's changing and revolutionizing what it is to be a left fullback. Mm. In the world game.
Yeah.
You know, in men's football, you've had the attacking fullbacks for a while, but she's becoming the prototype of what all teams want now in their own side.
Yeah.
And so that's an immense achievement by her. And so great, congratulations.
And great recognition for her. But in terms of the men's side of things, it hasn't been a happy hunting ground for, in terms of the accolades, in the last few years of us being in the AFC.
Except for Sasha Ognovsky.
Yeah.
Getting the award last year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sasha. That is the case. But in a year when we got to the AFC final, the AFC Cup final, where you've got Josh Kennedy just destroying people in the J League in the most, you know, celebrated league in Asia, not even getting considered is a big call. And Sergey Zheparov, take nothing away from him, he won the Asian Player of the Year. He's a great, great player, an immense player, but it's not as if Uzbekistan made the final, and it's not as if Uzbekistan or an Uzbekistani club made the Champions League final. It's an odd decision.
It is, and also in relation to how it's all tallied up. And one, it's amazing that one of the key criteria is you have to be able to attend the award. Now, by definition, that's a bit of an oxymoron, because if you are good enough and if you are the best players in Asia, you're going to go off to European clubs.
Yeah.
By definition. There's a great player. There's a great Japanese player.
Well, there's Honda, who's in Russia.
Keisuke Honda. Yeah. Amazing talent.
There's another great Japanese player. Forget his name, who's playing for Borussia Dortmund.
Shinji Kagawa.
Yeah. Yeah. Fantastic.
Yeah.
You know, and you've got Tim Cahill in the previous years playing at Everton and leading Everton to, you know, fifth or sixth in the Premier League. That's immense. So it's an odd award.
It's very strange. I really take nothing away from AFC's ability to organize an excellent confederation, and you know, all things being equal, I think the FIFA needs to realize that the future of football and where there's money and everything else is in Asia.
Oh, you know? They realized Sepp was there for the awards.
And he was saying, you know, bravo to everyone and everything that's happening except for Mohammed bin Hammam. But you know, and he plays the politics well, but all things being considered equal, Australian players have to feature a little bit more in a year where we got to the Asian Cup final for the very first time. It's not an insignificant achievement.
No, in particular, considering that last, if you're looking at the 2011 year, you would say that Matt McKay would be one of the best players in Asia by far.
Mm. You know, in terms of the influence.
Yeah, in terms of the influence. And not just in terms of what he did with the Brisbane Roar, but, you know, him stepping into the midfield in the Asian Cup. Well, it provided us with a totally different dimension. You can't tell me that wasn't influential.
It revolutionised the Australian football team really in the way that we play and the, even just the size of players. We didn't rely on guys like Jedinak and things like that. The way he directed play and kept the ball on the deck, it was a calming influence. And, you know, his influence in Asian football cannot be denied. And for him not to pick up a nomination is an odd, odd thing.
The other one I thought was strange was Tom Samani. Or Coach of the Year not getting a nomination. I thought that was a really strange one considering he took the Matildas to the quarterfinal of the World Cup and that was second in relation to the Asian team. So, you know, he's a coach that has struggled for recognition for what he's done with the game. I think it's just something that I don't know if it's maybe because we're the new kids on the block in relation to Asian Confederation and we've got to sort of bide our time and also pay our dues.
Yeah.
But yeah.
We didn't start off well. We did talk about this quickly before the podcast. The fact that we came in, Graham Arnold was the coach. We said we were going to win the Asian Cup straight away, first year. Perhaps they're sort of keeping us under the thumb a little bit.
Oh yeah.
Maybe they are. We're going to move on now to today's games, in the A-League. Wellington Phoenix play Sydney FC. An important game for both sides. Sydney had a loss last week and are really looking to get back into the winner's circle. Nick Carl said the loss was just a blip and that they're really going to be gunning to win the A-League this year. Wellington, they've just got to finish the game without somebody getting sent off and Paul Eiffel comes back.
Yeah, well, that would be really, really helpful if Wellington don't get a player sent off.
Is Chris Beath officiating?
I guess we'll find out who the referee is close to the kickoff time. But Sydney FC, they are looking decent at times. Everyone is still shouting out that they need a striker, despite the fact that they already have Juho Mikaela, Mark Bridge, Bruno Cazarin, Demi Petrados already sitting there going, yeah, we're all strikers.
Why?
Plus Nick Carl right behind them. And Carol Kissel, who sets up goals all the time, and Terry Antonis, and Brett Emerton. So that by my definition, makes, what, eight?
Yeah.
Or nine?
Top
people
line
who
players.
Aren't strikers?
Well, they're not all strikers, but they're all
players who can score.
They're all players who can create, and who can put it on a plate for somebody. But really, really briefly, I don't know if Mark Bridge has done enough to keep playing week in, week out with guys like Juho Mikaela there. I'm just not sure. And it's a funny, funny thing that Lavichka likes to sit on an idea and let it fail and let it flop and kind of. I think that Mark Bridge really needs to step it up, and I think that he really needs to start playing like the striker for the most important club in New South Wales. He is a person who needs to lead the line, and he's not leading it. That's my view.
Yeah, for sure. Well, looking at Wellington for a moment, we also have Chris Greenacre, who isn't performing as well as what we probably should hope so. He's taken on the role of a player coach. And I guess he kind of needs to take a step back and just worry about how he's performing at the moment rather than worrying about how other people are performing.
Well, he's going to have support from Paul Eiffel today, and that can't be underestimated. Wellington are not easy to beat in New Zealand. Despite the fact they've got a threadbare squad, Sydney will have to work for it. What do you guys think today?
Yeah, look, I think Sydney have to get off to a better start than they have been getting off to. Wellington Phoenix, it's a case of, if you jokingly said, you know, they've got to keep 11 men on the park, but that is key because they've not been able to finish off games and have been losing and conceding in the last minutes of games, which I don't think they can do, especially against a strong finishing Sydney side. I think Wellington...
And I am tipping Sydney FC to get a result. I think it'll be a close one and perhaps even we'll see a draw there. I know that Mikey, you are going to be tipping Sydney FC, so there's no point even asking you. That's pretty much it for the Football Sack on Sunday podcast. Thank you very, very much to Mikey and to Anne for being part of today's show. Don't forget to jump on our website for all match reports, and a couple of awesome articles which are going up currently. And we also have 15 days until Tom Meets Zizzle is released on DVD here in Australia. We will have more information about how you can order yourself a copy very soon. Until then, have an awesome Sunday. Goodbye for now.
That was the Football Sack Podcast. If you haven't already, subscribe on iTunes to stay up to date with all of the football action across Australia.